If you smell what the rock is cooking.
We're back, and welcome once again. After that stellar introduction, this is Mike, and Oscar, and this is a surprise to my co-host here. I am Mike One, co-host also Mike. Mike didn't know this until just now, but we were let in this episode by the Rock's theme song from the WWE, so surprise, sir.
So he's the one with the eyebrow and the...
Oh, God.
He's big, right?
This is a movie podcast.
I can't even pull that off. Yes, The Rock's theme song is something I was aware of because I was a wrestling fan for 8 to 10 years of my life.
Sure.
Growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't stick with it. I'm one of those people that should be, you know, thrown food at by all of the lovely wrestling fans that I'm sure are tuning into this episode.
You were a fan. Mike was a fan during what was called the Monday Night Wars. That was the peak of professional wrestling, and it's something that's very unique. And it was when wrestling was at its hottest and had the highest ratings, and it was something special that we're probably never going to get again with two multi-million-dollar companies vying for the same audience and the same airtime during the same time slot every week. And you, like a lot of people, grew up with that on TV every Monday, and it was the hottest thing going. So of course you tuned in.
And that was Nitro, and we just went over
Thunder
this.
Was the Thunder. Other. Well, you don't remember. Nobody
that
watched
was,
Thunder. You're not alone.
WCW. I watched some of it.
I'm sorry for you. Then.
And then SmackDown and Raw.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Those are the WWF ones.
And why did they go against each other on the same nights? Like, why wouldn't wrestling fans tune in four nights a week to the opposite?
Possibly the reasoning was that the honest reason is that Ted Turner. Nitro was the second one to get the air, and Ted Turner wanted to take Vince McMahon out, essentially. And Eric Bischoff pitched the idea to him to this is how you do it. You would bankrupt Vince McMahon if we can go head-to-head with him, thinking that Ted Turner would never go for it, and Ted Turner did. And that's how Nitro and Raw share the same time slot.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's ruthless.
We're not dealing with rational men in the professional wrestling
world. Ruthless. Yeah. Wouldn't there have been more money like Tuesday, Thursday?
You would think
Tuesday,
so.
Friday?
You would. Yeah, again, not dealing with rational people, but this is what we're doing. And kind of a surprise is what we're doing today. This is Mike, and Oscar doing an Oscar Sprint profile of one of the darlings of the early 2019 film year. Something that I honestly didn't expect to be received well at all. And it's been quite the contrary and a pleasant surprise for me as a hardcore lifelong wrestling fan. We're talking about Fighting With My Family, which of course is the Rock studio, the $7 Productions, the new movie coming out that highlights the biopic of Paige Soraya Knight's family, a very legendary wrestling family over there in England. We're going to talk about the OSP for it, the Oscar Sprint Profile for it, and what that means. If you've never joined us before here for an Oscar Sprint Profile, as we'd lovingly call an OSP, it's two reviews for the price of one. We have the non-spoiler review, which is the first half of every OSP. If you've not seen the movie, if you plan on seeing it, you don't want to hear what happens, don't worry. This first half of every OSP is for you. We just talk about the performances, the production values, the specs, all that good stuff leading up to without touching on the plot of the movie itself. Then we have a long dance breakdown.
And we actually stop the show and have a long dance.
Yes, every time, yeah. Because we are featuring music from one of the hottest DJs in Europe, which is a joke that probably got old 3 to 6 months ago, and I just keep hammering.
It's a catchphrase, a type of a joke at this point.
It's a song I made. That's just a spoiler
warning. No, it's a great song.
To let you know that the second half is a spoiler-filled review. Every second half of every OSP is a spoiler-filled review. That's where we go into the twists and turns, the direction, the plot, what we feel about it, some highlights and lowlights, etc. At the end of every OSP, we give it a final grade, and that grade kind of dictates whether or not we think it's worth your time. The way we start every OSP is that Mike starts off giving us the cast and crew. We're going to start this one with a bit of a disclaimer.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Mike, like you just heard, was a fan during the Monday Night Wars, and he is what I like to call a hopeful future fan of wrestling once again. I intend on roping him in. I talk about wrestling to him every time we meet, which is often 4 to 5 times a week. Mm-hmm. He's sick of it. I am more of the hardcore version, so Mike's definitely taking the approach of the layperson, the common casual viewer with this movie, whereas I am burdened with knowing way too much information because what I lacked in friends and human interaction growing up, I filled those holes with unnecessarily known backstage wrestling developments. And that's why I'm single sitting here in this dark room with you. Are you here? No.
I have a similar story, but it's just other things that have filled the void that is the abyss of this life. But you're right in the sense that we're coming at this from two ends of the spectrum. Yes. I don't know which one of us is the heel, and you said it before, the face.
Yes, the baby face. That's
the baby face and the heel.
You're in the lingo.
Starting to learn it.
Yeah.
We might start on one end of the spectrum and then have a heel turn.
All I know for sure is I'm hitting you with a title in the head before this recording's over.
Do you have a title around this
room? You don't have to
somewhere?
Worry about that. You really don't. Mike's going to start with the
is
cast
it like
and crew.
Draped over your pillow right now upstairs?
Again, not relevant information for this point in time.
Oh, God. All right, what am I getting into? I like this movie, though. Anyway, written and directed by Stephen Merchant. He is the actor/comedian known from Extras, The Office, Hello Ladies, movies like Logan, Cemetery Junction. Mike, he's done a lot of things with Ricky Gervais.
I am fascinated by that because if you look down his IMDb page, he really just kind of immediately hitched his wagon to Ricky Gervais. I would love to know more about that relationship, how they found each other and what made them kinship to one another, because like everything Gervais did in the early 2000s to mid 2010s, Stephen Merchant was right by his side alongside.
Is it just the physical relationship between them? Merchant is like 6'7", 6'5". He's wrestler big. And then Gervais is like 4'3".
Yeah. The modern day Lenny and George, like you were pitching.
Like you and me,
yeah.
Basically.
or that. Sure. Yeah.
You're tall. I'm short. Yeah. I mean, one's smart. One's dumb.
Again, maybe not, but okay.
One has 8 years of school, one has 4.
Doesn't mean smart.
Anyway, I think I was most surprised to learn that Stephen Merchant was actually kind of the really smart one here. If you're going to, I mean, they're both super smart, but
yeah.
Merchant has the career as the writer-director. Hello Ladies, Cemetery Junction, 13 episodes of The Extras, 14 episodes of The Office. I was surprised to see such a stacked director's IMDb profile.
Certainly one of the more talented up-and-coming directors, even though he doesn't have a lot of feature films to his name, it's nice to see him get his foot in the door. And again, even though one of his first feature films was this, he knocked it out of the park by all critical reviews.
Yeah, this feels like a polished film in many
absolutely
more ways than one. We'll get into it. Fighting With My Family stars Florence Pugh from Lady Macbeth, every wrestler's fantasy movie. No,
I'm not going to give you anything.
You didn't see
I don't
Lady
like the
Macbeth
way you're talking about wrestling fans.
Lady Macbeth is a costume drama about
I know what it is.
A woman who basically changes costumes every day. And
good.
She lives in the countryside. And then Act 2 comes along and she changes costumes again.
Fair. So she's basically hosting an award show.
There's drama. Anyway, Florence Pugh's also from The Little Drummer Girl, Outlaw King, and upcoming projects for this summer, Midsummer, Samar with an AR.
Yeah.
That's Ari Aster's new movie.
Probably something we're going to talk about in MMO Weekly on Monday. The trailer for that just hit this week.
Yeah, freaked me out.
Sure did.
Little Women is coming out in December, and she's in that cast.
If you are a female in Hollywood with any sort of name recognition, at this point, I'm just going to assume you're in Little Women.
True. Have you ever seen anything Little Women? Have you read the book? Have you ever seen adaptation
of
it? No,
I'm a bad person.
Me
I
neither.
Have not. All right.
It's like, I know, like I have a line in terms of my macho-ness. Like there's Pride and Prejudice and there's Little Women. I've never crossed that line.
I've
ever
seen Pride and Prejudice.
I've never seen, I've read half of Pride and Prejudice. I've read half of, this is me trying to impress all the rest.
Yeah, what
fans,
what is
all the
this?
Tough guys. This is just me desperately.
What do you think the audience for this episode is?
This is me desperately trying to be tough in front of all the wrestling fans that tune into this episode and only this episode. But yeah, I mean, Pride and Prejudice. I've gotten through half of it in all of its forms.
Well, that was an unexpected.
Yeah, that's what everybody wants.
Side monologue.
They want a monologue about Little Women and Pride and Prejudice at the beginning of the wrestling movie.
I'm just glad we got here. I knew at the start of this wrestling podcast. Go ahead.
And I'm the programming one. That's what I'm responsible for.
God.
This is very introspective so far today. Florence Pugh, Michael, she's in for a big year.
Hopefully.
Costume drama, a big blockbuster, horror movie turns. It's happening.
I thought I was very impressed by her and the chemistry she had with one of her co-stars. We'll get into it.
Jack Lowden from Dunkirk, Mary Queen of Scots, and an awesome Netflix movie Caliber that we really both really liked plays the older brother Zach Zodiac. We have Nick Frost from the Cornetto trilogy, one of our favorite trilogies ever. He plays the father. Lena Headey is Cersei from Game of Thrones and plays the mom in this.
That's the first person attached to this film that you could be like, why are you here?
And yet, I think she does a nice job.
I'm with you. She's an awesome actress.
We get The Rock for a bunch of scenes, mm-hmm. and we get Vince Vaughn as the wrestling scout slash coach. He's a composited character, I hear, of a few different coaches.
Yeah, so that's problem number one I had with this right off the top, is that when Paige got into the developmental center, which is NXT of WWE, if you want to know about the real head trainer there during that time period, look up a couple legal cases, because he's no longer there for various reasons. He was not a nice guy, and this Vince Vaughn character was not a portrayal of him, I don't think. At least reportedly, he wasn't a nice guy.
So they kind of rewrote the history there. So, Fighting With My Family also stars director and writer Stephen Merchant, Olivia Bernstone, Hannah Dodd, Jack Goldburn, and Elroy Powell. Mike, some story inception production notes. WWE Studios is responsible for this. They've been active since 2002's The Scorpion King, starring The Rock.
Really?
They've been making movies. Most of those movies have been going straight to video ever since.
That's true.
But they have done some bigger stuff of late that has been critically well received.
Yeah.
Three things of note. Birth of a Dragon, the Bruce Lee story. Mm-hmm. I think that was like a 60-something. You have Slight about the magician, which was pretty a pretty good movie. And then you had Oculus back in 2015, 2014, which I really liked, with the Battlestar Galactica lead. She's always good.
Oculus was a fine horror movie on its own. I was very impressed with that. They also had a Halle Berry movie not too long ago about her being a police dispatcher. Didn't get great reviews.
They had a lot of hits and misses but along the way. They've made some money. I think they make a lot of money on the home video front, and to be honest.
They have to. They keep churning them out, and they have all those guys under contract already. Like, The Miz is on The Marine 6, and that's not a joke. I think it's the sixth installment of that
franchise.
They've
been cutting their teeth making movies for a long time. It's interesting to see that as a studio, now they're getting a lot of good critical reception. So you'll go over that for this movie coming up.
Yeah.
But I don't have a lot of production notes, because we're going to kind of rely on your expertise throughout the episode.
That's alluding, a word that should be in quotes.
Alluding to it at the beginning and then in spoiler section. I'm interested to actually hear a lot of the lowdown here. But Fighting With My Family tells the story of WWE wrestler, now only 26 years old, of Paige, Saraya. You said Knight, right?
Yes.
It's Bevis now? Did she get married?
Yeah, the professional name for her family is the Knight family over in England. I think her real name might be Bevis. I understand. I don't know the answer to that, so.
Well, Zach Zodiac kind of tipped me off that they might change their names once in a while. But some has been made of the film taking many liberties in the origin story. Mike went into that. But it does loosely follow her origins in the WWE.
Yeah, the story about Paige in her time getting to and being in the WWE, like, there's specifics I have huge problems with. But generally, it's not
the overall arc.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Mike, you got some specs.
All right, let's talk about Fighting With My Family. Mike already told you the writer and director for this was Stephen Merchant, from all the hit stuff and Ricky Gervais accompanying stuff that he's done in his career. This film had its debut January 28th of this year at Sundance, where it was a surprise hit. Opened February 22nd, about a month later here in the U.S., and went wide in the U.K. a couple days after that, February 27th. There's a 108-minute runtime on a PG-13 rating. The Rock is somehow not listed as a producer on this film, at least according to IMDb. Kevin Mischer and Michael J. Luisi are. Vic Sharma does the music here, as he's done for a bunch of Stephen Merchant productions in the past.
Right.
Remy A. Farrison, the cinematography, as he did for such films as Fred Claus and Juliet Naked. Nancy Richardson did the editing and needs an assistant to create a Wikipedia page, but I care about her, unlike her interns apparently do, and did enough research to report that she did the editing on both Divergent and Insurgent. So those are both movies that end in gent.
Those are bad movies, Mike.
MGM Pictures, The Rock, $7 Productions, Mischer Films, and WWE Studios, like Mike told you, are all listed as production companies attached to this film, with United Artists, Lionsgate, and Universal getting the distribution rights in the States, UK, and internationally, respectfully there. The Rock, in a great piece by Rebecca Keegan for The Hollywood Reporter, revealed that the production budget was a paltry $11 million. Paltry in quotes there, but for a Rock production, a Rock movie, a movie featuring The Rock, $11 million is pretty low for a production budget. I say that, obviously, compared to every other film he's been in and $7 production has been attached to. His team decided to basically push this film through on their own after looking for a major studio to provide funding for this, but I guess he says they all turned him down.
Wow.
I guess I believe that, but then again, why wouldn't some major studio just throw $30 million, which could basically be a tax write-off, to fund The Rock's passion project just to get in bed with The Rock, who can carry any franchise right now?
He is the savior of sequels that...
And action genre.
Yeah, yeah.
The entire... I don't understand why a studio wouldn't do that, but maybe it's tough times out there even for The Rock to sell a script. It's proven thus far to be a wise investment anyway by $7 Productions because everything he does is a wise move professionally. The film has pulled in 16.2 domestically according to Box Office Mojo at last check. If you want to go by the Wikipedia number, which was provided by thenumbers.com, it's up to 18.9 million. So it's creeping towards already 2 times production budget, even though it's only been wide for 2 weeks now. This will be its second week
it's
in theaters.
There. It's getting there. It'll have a chance to make its money back in theaters. And then if it does what it's supposed to do on home video, they're making money.
We'll talk about the high critic scores, the high critical receptions. It's 7.6 right now, IMDb rating on a 7,300 plus reviews. That's pretty high, especially for a wrestling movie. 68 Metascore on 38 critic reviews. That's 3 points higher than Captain Marvel, which was the subject of our most recent Oscar sprint profile. We just released that 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. The Rotten Tomato scores are damn impressive as well. It sits with a certified fresh 92% rating on 153 critical reviews. 140 of those are positive. The average critical score is a 7.29 out of 10. Again, I don't believe we're talking about a wrestling movie here. That's crazy to me. Mm. An equally impressive 87% audience score on 1,600 plus ratings. The average audience rating is a 4.2 out of 5. So like you said, a lot of people have seen this and liked it.
A lot, and loved it in many cases.
Yeah, it really blows me away because outside of like the Mickey Rourke, the wrestler, wrestling films don't, one, get made, and two, they don't get made because people don't think there's an audience for them.
It's perhaps because there's so much wrestling on television all the time.
Could be.
I mean, do you really need to see a wrestling movie every day of your life when you can just get your wrestling fix?
It also has the problem that sports movies have in general, where it's tough to replicate on the screen.
These are larger than life, not only personalities, but people. The height, weight, speed is a factor. And it's always been difficult to replicate. Just look at Will Smith and Muhammad Ali.
Sure.
Look at all the flack that Chris Hemsworth's getting right now for daring to portray Hulk Hogan.
That's not going to happen. I have nothing to back that claim up with. I just have a feeling in my gut that that's not going to go forward.
He is 120 pounds lighter than Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, I don't understand how that's going to happen.
Even if he's tall, even if he is truly 6'4", you know, he does not have the mass.
No, but credit to 7 Pounds Production, Stephen Merchant, Florence Pugh, everyone involved with this. This is a roaring success for what it could have been. Let's talk about the plot premise, Mike.
A former wrestler and his family make a living performing at small venues around the country while his kids dream of joining World Wrestling Entertainment.
So it took the point of view of the father for the plot premise on IMDb?
Not all that smart.
Well, this isn't the father's movie.
Not at all. Yeah. The father is just like a bit character.
Right.
He's not even the chief mentor. Like, the mother has wiser things to say. And really, the brother's the mentor character.
Yeah, that's certainly the one that overcomes the most conflict. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I can't believe IMDb had that as the... So yeah, I don't agree with that synopsis at all.
That's silly. So I don't think I had super high expectations for this, even with the critical scores as high as they are. February release date, Metascore being kind of, all that tempered my expectations. Even though the Rotten Tomato scores were high, I've seen a lot of movies where a 90-something percent still equals a C-plus film.
Right.
And I was kind of figuring maybe that's the case here, but I was pleasantly surprised I got better than my expectations. At the same time, I think I kind of tempered them.
You have a higher grade than I do, and yet still my expectations were very low that I'm still pleasantly surprised. And again, that's because of the combination of, I think it's a weird subject matter. If you're going to do the first biopic that gets The Rock behind it, I'm kind of surprised this is the one that he went with, especially from the world of wrestling. I've seen WWE Studios productions before. They are, like you said, very hit or miss. And wrestling films just don't have a good rap in general, and they don't get made. And when they get made, they're not good. They're not well done. Ready to Rumble was something we joke about all the time on this podcast. That's what I kind of expected here. WWE cameos and over-the-top zaniness. And
was that the end of Arquette's career or the Eight-Legged Freaks?
You mean the former WCW World Heavyweight Champion David Arquette's career?
What?
You don't know that? Oh, yeah, man. He won the belt. That company... I could do days on that company.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. So, yeah, my expectations were very low. So I think anything resembling an average picture, I probably would have been impressed with. And this is above average, certainly.
How did David, I need to know this. How did he lose the belt?
He was involved in a triple threat, triple tiered cage match, which was only greenlit because it was an idea for Ready to Rumble, the movie, that they then implemented in a real-life WCW pay-per-view. It was him against Jeff Jarrett against Diamond Dallas Page. He was a good guy, and at the end of the match, he turned on DDP. David Arquette went heel and gave the belt to Jeff Jarrett.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. WCW in 2000 was fucking crazy.
Did he lose his life for this?
Somebody did. Canyon got thrown off the top. It's not. Don't get me started.
Mike, what happened in 2009? WCW. All right.
They died in 2001. What, nothing happened. Go ahead.
So production values, Mike, I think they're all fairly high for this movie. I liked the montage with the actual WWE stars. And I think they're kind of half marketing one of their home videos there. They're like the greatest matches ever or something that they're showing the Merchant family.
I was expecting gratuitous cameos, too.
Yeah.
You know, to go into to not only production values, but performances, I guess, and some expectations still. I was expecting it to be just a marketing tool. Well, kind of. Or like what Ralph did for the Disney company, right? The latest Wreck-It Ralph movie. I was expecting it just to be selling WWE. It does that in a way. Like, this is a WWE-branded, I almost called it a pay-per-view, but movie all over.
Mm-hmm.
But it you weren't like, wrestlers weren't shoved down your throat. This is really a piece that's centered on the characters and centered on the subject matter and centered on the conflict. It was like a really polished and well-done film.
Side question that I have to ask you.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't make its money back, do you think it is a worthy venture for WWE Studios? A, they've kind of won over the critics with the last few films they've made. B, they've advertised to non-wrestling fans. A lot of non-wrestling fans seeing this movie.
If this makes money, finishes in the black, and Rocky's up for doing another one, and WWE Studios love doing anything with The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Vince McMahon wants to claim The Rock as his own, which led to a whole problem in 2012 when The Rock only wanted to be called Dwayne Johnson. But if this can make money and The Rock's up for doing, I think this could open up a whole new avenue in a genre of picture, because there are some professional wrestlers with fascinating stories, backstories, and coming of age stories. Hulk Hogan is not really one of them. He's actually got a lot of black marks on his personal life, which I'm stunned at. Paige did too, though, if you know the real life story of Paige, and they didn't get into any of it. So,
right. I did read the Wikipedia page.
Oh, yeah. Paige? Without an I. So it's all the way you handle it, I guess. I don't think this one was expected to really be profitable. And it is. At least it's on its way to being. So, yeah, I think this could kick open the door for a whole new genre of film.
And it didn't even open beyond, you know,
our
market.
It's us in the UK, yeah.
Yeah, that should do well over there. But what I'm wondering is, if every wrestling fan saw this, or if half the wrestling fans saw this, this is a $200 million blockbuster.
Well, last check,
no wrestling fans are seeing this.
Well, maybe. I mean, there's like 1.6 million subscriptions sold to the WWE Network. So if each of them bought a ticket, this one would be like a $1 billion property or something like that, you know? So that's bad math, obviously. But I don't know who's seeing this, because I think if you're a hardest of hardcore wrestling fan like I am, you're going to have a lot of problems with it, and you're probably not going to be, again, I didn't give it a very high grade. I'm impressed by it. I think it's above average. It has higher grades than I would expect hardcore wrestling fans to give it. So that's probably a good point by you, that maybe it's just winning over more casual moviegoers, which you have to do though, right? If you're going to, like, you can't just make a movie for wrestling fans, because that's way too niche, isn't it?
It's probably too, well, I wonder, because if wrestling fans all went to see it, it's a bankable thing. So if
all of them go, yeah.
Right. That would make money.
I don't know if you can make that type of movie to entice everyone to, I don't know. I mean, that's an interesting quandary, because there is something here, right? There's something in this ground. There's fertile land that can be farmed. You just got to plant the right crop.
I love the stuff filmed at WrestleMania, for one. I thought that was a great touch to actually be in the box at WrestleMania and have some scenes involved there with that as your backdrop. So they made use of some of these settings, I thought.
Yeah, I remember one of the final scenes, a very prominent scene in this movie, I remember it being filmed post a live Monday Night Raw. They told the crowd to just hang out. I think Rocky even like did a surprise appearance during that Raw.
Oh yeah,
and kind of told the crowd what was going on during one of the commercial breaks, and you know said we're going to need you to act like this is a real wrestling event. Still, we're going to tape this after Raw goes off the air. Mm-hmm. They did that. Florence Pugh came out. All of that actually happened within a wrestling Monday Night Raw stadium or Monday Night Raw, whatever you want to call it, the building there. So mm-hmm. yeah, they were the authenticity of the WWE, not just putting their logo on everything, but it did feel very true to life and it felt very real, which I appreciated as a wrestling fan, certainly.
Otherwise, you know, the soundtrack, I think, works fairly well. I mean, there's some hard rock stuff that gets a little goofy or plays to kids at some times, you know, with all the sing-alongs and all that, but it's fine.
I don't know. I mean, it was kind of unremarkable to me.
Performances, Mike. I thought there were five really good actors at the center of this movie.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I thought all five performances were excellent. I mean, you know, Nick Frost does his thing as the goofy guy, making a lot of jokes. Lena Headey's got, like, some edge about her. And I don't know how she's pulling off some of the just dark as black as hell jokes.
Yeah, and she and yet at equal times is the conscience of the family.
Right.
Very interesting character there. I'd like to know more about that.
I would have loved her to have been a bigger character.
Yeah. Right? I mean, but maybe it was because she has a relatively small part that we all appreciated her that much more. But yeah, she was fascinating. I also loved the chemistry between Pugh and Loden. I mean, they were supposed to be brother and sister, and they certainly felt like brother and sister. I don't know how long they hung out together, but I've had similar fights with my brother. Like, it felt very relatable and very believable what they saw on screen together.
Definitely. Loden is an up-and-comer, and the choices he makes in some of the scenes, like there's a fight scene where he just gets this bewildered look in his eye. I was like, how do you decide to do that?
Yeah.
You know, he's doing that. He's like raising his eyebrows literally before a fight, and that's his choice in the scene. And I just thought he's a really smart actor.
Faces were big in this, and that's kind of a big deal in professional wrestling too. It gives away part of the storyline, but true to form here, a lot of emotions were worn on various characters' faces at different times, and I thought they all did a great job of doing that, and it was conveying the proper emotion that you were supposed to feel.
And Florence Pugh's character is not all that likable the whole movie,
which I loved,
and I loved it too.
Oh my God, did I love that, because it's a fish out of water screenplay, right, and the old tired trope of fish out of water is like it's okay to be different, you're still a good person. That was still here, but it like sometimes the outcast can also be the asshole.
And sometimes, like a screenwriting trope, basically bottom line is your protagonist should have the best arc, the most complete arc, the most steep arc in some cases.
Yeah.
You know, so that she's totally fits that bill. I mean, it probably happens much more gradually in her real life. Everything that happens.
Oh, I'm sure. Right. But I mean, we're so conditioned just as moviegoers to see the pretty cheerleader type women. And we're so used to them being demonized in all these films. Right. And it's like it towed that line. But then it actually got to a point where like she was judging them. The outcast was the one judging the books by their cover.
Right.
And I loved that as a change, a circumvention of trope.
Big fan of it. Vince Vaughn was this kind of character in Hacksaw Ridge, and I thought he did a great job.
Yeah, he's nestling nicely into like a little mentor role here.
And I think as a coach, like he's a good coach in this movie.
Yeah,
like,
I had no problems with the way. I mean, I know, again, aside from the fact that I knew who the head trainer was, and you want to go look up
who's
Bill DeMott.
Probably a bad coach.
Yeah, go look up Bill DeMott history, his history. It's a whole thing. Again, allegedly, reportedly anyway. But I was thoroughly, I liked Vince Vaughn in this movie. I didn't think, I talk about a fish out of water, I didn't think he belonged at all when I first saw him on screen. I'm like, what the fuck is the guy from Wedding Crashers going to add to this?
Tall enough to be a wrestler.
Again. Yeah, sure.
We got, there's only so many 6'4", 6'5" actors in the world.
But he was great. And he was very believable as a trainer. I loved his performance.
I thought he did a terrific job. And he can scream. And he's
he can.
He's an imposing presence.
Yeah, he is.
When he screams. Otherwise, I thought the ensemble did a nice job. You got a lot of kids acting in this movie that could ruin scenes. I don't think any of them did. You got a lot of extras involved, a lot of real wrestlers,
sure,
some cameos.
Mm-hmm.
You got the crowd. You're working the crowd. And I thought they did a nice job with the composition from the performance standpoint.
Yeah, as far as, again, this probably is the first professional wrestling, or at least WWE or professional wrestling entity honed pro wrestling movie, which mm-hmm. is a mouthful to say. since Ready to Rumble. I can't remember a wrestling company getting involved with the production as much as this, but because WWE did, it felt very authentic. They made sure to make it feel like you were actually watching a pro wrestling company on screen, which I appreciated.
They're in the skybox, and you have the giant, I don't know what his name is.
The Big Show.
He used to be the giant. Anyway, you have the Big Show and whoever that other guy was, the guy
Sheamus,
with the red hair.
Sheamus.
Okay. They had a good scene where they're actually delivering lines that feel real.
Yeah.
And I have seen much, much worse with cameos from athletes.
And that's also a good thing that WWE Studios does, because both of them had experience on movie sets because of the history of WWE Studios already.
Good.
I mean, the Big Show was in a film called Knucklehead, I want to say. Sheamus, I know, has been in something. I cannot remember it right now. But they both are used to being on screen in that capacity. So that's also why it didn't feel like it was just a cameo for the cameo's sake to shove it down your throat.
Exactly. And Big Show was Captain Insano, correct?
Yes, he was Captain Insano as well. Captain Insano.
Script thoughts, we got a couple. I mean, look, there's a lot of corny jokes and some tough sells.
Sure.
But I do think the movie overall pulls it off. I mean, there's a lot of jokes. We talked about MCU principles, joke away, the obvious objection. That happens a lot in this movie.
Yeah, and I think it is a family comedy. Like, that's kind of the out that it had, the ace up its sleeve. It was supposed to not be taking itself too seriously, which also was a little perplexing to me at times, but okay.
But a lot of scenes get like soft landings in a way. And I think that's Stephen Merchant saying, all right, if I'm expediting this, all right, I better go out with a joke. And that kind of makes it all better, when especially when the joke hits. And you got talented comedians involved to hit, to make sure they hit. And he's obviously a talented comedy writer.
Yeah.
So I don't know. This fit my sense of humor more than other movies. So this worked. I was laughing throughout this movie.
Yeah, pleasantly funny, I would venture to say. And I don't think I really took it as something that was going to be overly comedic, but it definitely had its moments.
Setups and payoffs, this movie has them. I was really impressed.
Like any good wrestling angle, yeah.
Honestly, I think there's some big emotional payoffs that I was not expecting in the least.
And that's, again, the biggest one for me was Pugh and Loden going back and forth at one another. I didn't expect that at all, and I didn't expect it to be so well acted. But my God, the two of them went at it.
All that being said, you know, the 91%, I don't think makes this an A movie. I don't think either of us are going to come down with an A.
No.
So in terms of an Oscar lens, Mike, I don't have this as an Oscars movie in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, this is more done out of curiosity, because I don't either for anything. But again, the critical scores were around the globe, like in every site, so high. I mean, even freaking Captain Marvel was being outpaced by this film by its meta rating. It's like, okay, we out of curiosity had to take it in to see what was going on.
Well, what was said about Captain Marvel from us and from many people, though, is Captain Marvel's probably better than some of the movies in the Best Picture category last year. So who knows if this movie has a second life, or if it does well on VOD and keeps those high scores, and you never know.
You never know. I cannot imagine. I would love it, but I cannot imagine this happening. But yeah, so it's still a fun movie.
I still wonder why this is not a bigger hit, and maybe it opens up overseas. I don't understand why it's not making closer to tens of millions of dollars than just maybe 20 million at the end of the day.
I don't have an answer. I mean, maybe it's too shticky for the hardcore wrestling fan.
It's
and
a saturated
too,
market.
I mean, pro wrestling is still heavily stigmatized amongst casual viewers. A lot of people still think it's about, you know, dealing with yokels and redneck type stuff. And it's graduated beyond that. But even think about when you watched, right? What was the Attitude Era? The Attitude Era was over-sexualized, bloody.
Yeah.
That stigma has never really gone away from wrestling, even though that's not at all what WWE is anymore. And in fact, the harshest critics of WWE are people that want to get back to those days. They still watch, but they hate watch almost, because there is no sex, blood, hardcore matches. None of that's there anymore. It's a TV PG product, because it's a publicly traded company now, and it has tie-ins with like the toy industry. It has tie-ins with the movie industry now. They're trying to be more mainstream. You don't get mainstream coverage if you have a girl out there flashing her fake tits every episode. You just don't.
Would they have been able to make this an Attitude Era thing? Would that have been a better movie, you think, if it's more Because I think in her backstory, there are some, you know, rated R kind of things.
Yeah, if you tie, I don't even know how you would do that with Stephen Merchant, to be honest. But if you tied in the real story about what Paige has gone through, which is one of my criticisms, it's not touched on at all. And there is plenty of it that you can talk about. Yeah, obviously there would be some X-rated stuff that comes with that, or at least R-rated. Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. Would that have sold better or worse? I don't think you could really ask for an $11 million pro wrestling movie. I know you think it's kind of it's a bit of a disappointment that this box office isn't bigger. To me, I'm very encouraged by it because I don't think you could ask more for what this movie has going for it right now. I really don't.
So it's a pleasant surprise it for is. You, and you still say watch it at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more for the casual viewer than it is the hardcore fan, to be honest.
Okay.
And I think the hardcore fan might find some stuff that they'll pull their hair out about that I'll get into after we have this dance break.
Let's dance.
Spoilers ahead!
This is a spoiler warning.
Spoilers. 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 Spoilers.
Mike, and Oscar Sprint, spoilers!
This is the spoiler section for Fighting With My Family, the OSP, the Oscar Sprint profile, brought to you by Mike, and Oscar. It's an OSP brought to you by MMO, because we like shorthand and what are those things
acronyms,
called?
Acronyms. Yeah, we love acronyms.
I know what wrestling is. I don't know what acronyms are. If you've not seen the movie yet, if you don't want to know what happens, this is a good place for you to hit pause, go watch the film. We'll be waiting for you when you come back and hit play. If you've seen the movie already, if you're interested to hear our takes on it, or if we've just hyped up the movie so much for you in the non-spoiler section that you cannot go another second without hearing our thoughts on the plot, this is where you want to be. It's all spoilers all the time here on Out the Oscar Sprint Profile of Fighting With My Family, brought to you by Mike, and Oscar. Usually we start the spoiler section with some carryovers, and that's kind of what we're going to do here. We talked about, we touched on at the end of the spoiler section there, how there was a lot of stuff omitted about Paige's real life. And that's one of the biggest issues. I guess you can call this worse scenes, if you can call an omission a worse scene.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to hammer, like we did in Bohemian Rhapsody, if you're going to hammer a biopic for being false, you got to do it all across the board, right?
Yeah. Then again,
taking too much creative license, let's say.
Well, here's the thing. This is focused on a certain period of time. It's focused on time between her tryout, or around her tryout, through the time that she becomes a part of their regular roster.
That is true.
So you can composite that time. Do you hit all the main events? So I know a lot of shit went down with her life, you know, in year 23, 24, 25.
Mm-hmm.
But when she's getting the title for the first time, I'm very curious. Does this hit on a lot of truths, or are there some, you know, terrible omissions there?
Look, it's about, and the big payoff scene that we also touched on, the big ending of this movie, the finality, is her getting, she has her Raw debut, her main roster debut, the day after WrestleMania 30, where she beats longstanding Divas champion AJ Lee.
Yeah.
If that name rings a bell, she's married to CM Punk, who went off and had his own ugly divorce with WWE.
Mm-hmm.
She's the real-life wife of CM Punk, AJ Lee, who was the longest-reigning Divas champion ever. Paige comes out as a surprise, beats AJ Lee on her first night on the main roster for the belt.
Now, that surprise, that is a highly orchestrated surprise, correct?
It was very, very surprising in the world of professional wrestling. Nobody saw that coming.
But that's a really cool reversal, where they're trying to program the Divas division into something that where they think they have a minor league superstar, correct?
Yes.
They would have to.
She was at the time, and it's another thing that was omitted by this. She was at the time the NXT Women's Champion.
So she was reigning down there, and people were saying, wow, she could be something. She's only 19, 20.
Mm-hmm.
She got the title when she was 20?
Whatever. Yeah, very young. Young
so
place.
You have AJ Lee with a great crescendo at WrestleMania, this awesome match, and do you think she's at the... It's great writing. formula. Sure. Actually, at the tip top of her mountain, she'll fall all the way down that mountain, right, and in the most surprising fashion. By and pride goes before the fall. She slapped her, and I actually watched. That was the one clip I did watch on YouTube. That actual fight, which I enjoyed, and it's obviously faster than what we saw.
But it is.
It's very different than what we saw.
The AJ Lee character in this was portrayed by a woman who has gone by many names. She is now also with WWE. Her character name is Zelina Vega. She's a manager. She wrestles part-time at WWE. She did a lot to mimic the tone and delivery that the real AJ Lee did in that.
Yeah, because I didn't know.
Back and forth.
I honestly didn't notice. I didn't have a great YouTube quality thing. I just watched it on my small computer, but I didn't notice.
I didn't have a problem with her. I had a little. Florence Pugh, and I get it was done for dramatic effect, but like, so overly worried about what was going on, and that kind of wasn't, you didn't read that at all from the real page during this moment.
I mean, she was talking, and she wasn't like, what bothered me most, and this is probably a me problem, I have nightmares about being in front of a crowd and not being able to
give a
speech.
You would not be a good professional wrestler, then.
Clamming up. I have nightmares about right. just bombing and just in general, just disappointing an entire crowd of people right. who will then heckle me.
Uh-huh, of course.
So the fact that that happens to her in the one scene where she's supposed to give a speech at the NXT.
I hate it. And that's my worst
like,
scene.
They would never put her up there
exactly.
if she'd never given
like,
a good speech.
They made the Florence Pugh version of Paige seem like someone that like was going to sink or swim and they weren't really sure about and they didn't know.
Right.
And that's not at all what real Paige in real life did on her way up. She was a dominant figure. She was very good on the microphone. She was very capable in the ring. And Vince McMahon is not putting somebody at the forefront on Raw in a prominent position
right.
that he doesn't know is at least going to give him their best effort. Right.
And she had years in her parents' wrestling organization.
Yep.
And then she had another year somewhere else, like the Florida wrestling. And then she had NXT for a year.
Florida so Championship she, Wrestling became NXT. Yeah.
Okay.
So it was
so
the same
she
organization.
She had 2 years essentially
yeah.
in NXT
yep.
to hone her craft. And this made it seem like, all right, she had like two nights in the NXT.
Exactly. Yeah. And I had a big problem with that. And
Mini
it was, gym. And again, it's done for drama purposes.
They made her an underdog.
Yeah, they did. And good, you know, good for her. I would have liked to see it be a little more realistic, though.
Yeah.
And that Divas promo challenge, that bit that you hit on, I hated everything about that because they have this NXT
yeah.
setup where they invite the Divas to the ring at like what must have been an NXT house show for the Divas promo challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And Paige freezes up on the microphone and the crowd jumps on her instantly and she leaves the ring in a huff, unscripted, essentially. My God. Okay, first of all.
Number one, that is a painful scene for any audience.
Yes, that's a horribly
right? I'm
awkward.
Not alone. That's,
it's very awkward, yes.
I'm not alone in my neuroses.
Why would WWE make wrestling fans look that white trashy? I mean, they look like winos. They look like, you know, carnival barkers, essentially. They look terrible. They're yelling. They're screaming. They're losing their minds. They're not. It's not like a classy
well,
thing.
That being said, she is a complete failure in that scene.
Okay.
So, you know, they have a right to kind of give her some shit.
I don't mind you, but the way it read to me was just like, these are unfair people. I hate it. I hated the way they were portrayed. And I don't understand why WWE would greenlight that because they run on the backs of wrestling fans.
Sure.
I also had a huge problem with this minor detail that a Divas promo challenge is not a thing that has ever happened in the history of pro wrestling.
So they're compositing a lot of things.
Right. I get that, but again, but my knowledge as a wrestling fan, that was offensive to me because I'm like, I there's other ways you can write into the script her failing in a moment and not delivering, but my God, if a pro wrestler went out during a promo set and left off the script without telling anyone, without it being okay for her to leave and just stormed out of the ring because of her own embarrassment, that person does not, they give up on it. That person gets fired.
Wow.
they get let go or they get yeah. demoted even more so or buried on the card.
Of course.
Yeah. And again, dramatized, I understand it, but it was too unrealistic for me.
So the bit, yeah, I mean, it doesn't make sense. We made fun of Widows for its training montage.
Right.
This training montage is like, all right, she's great at flipping tires, and she goes and hangs out with the girls, and they get the suicide dive down, which I liked some of that. I mean, here's the thing. If I didn't know anything about the real character,
mm-hmm.
like, I believe that Florence Pugh would go through this shit. Like, she's selling it.
I think Florence Pugh did a phenomenal job. And Loden, I want to give him props, too.
Because the real
Paige... You can tell they actually gave a shit about learning how to look like a pro wrestler.
Well, here's the thing. The real Paige is, like, cut out of stone. She is, as an athlete, she's an extraordinary athlete. And Florence Pugh is not. Florence Pugh is an actress. She can barely run. Her running form was really bad. Even though I agree, it's on a beach. My running form isn't much better, but I do know running form, and it was rough.
I got to tell you, I didn't even care that much about that.
But she, you know, so bottom line, though, if you're going to make a underdog story, Florence Pugh does a nice job pulling that
off. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And again, you could tell that she was actually in the ring in preparation for this movie, trying to learn pro wrestling moves and work it through. And I know she had probably a stunt double for some of the higher risk stuff, which is fine. She is a legitimate movie star, like you said, and I'm fine with that. And I think for a property like this, and for the WWE in general, even when they bring in Hollywood stars, you just want people that give a shit. You want people that actually care about being there, and she did. And for my love of a wrestling fan, I respect her all the world.
So here's where I'm torn, because a lot of those movements that don't work when you know the real story, they kind of still work in the reality of this version of this story.
Sure, yeah.
In a way. So that's very strange for me, because even though I kind of call bullshit at the end a few times, it was like they made it feel like, all right, this is turning into Rocky.
She has to really fight
this woman off, and this is not a grand plan. I mean, they mentioned earlier in the movie, it's not fake, it's fixed.
Right.
You know, they mentioned it at the dinner
table. It's scripted, yeah.
It's scripted. So that everybody knows what's going to happen going into every match, correct? Especially a match of this magnitude.
Well, yeah. I mean, some people actually practice beat by beat. Some people are more meticulous about going through the ins and outs of it. Other guys and girls call it in the ring, which means they literally will just grapple and do a collar and elbow tie up, and they'll talk their way through spots. This will happen next. So it's really up to the performer. But yes, the outcome is always predetermined, and usually the highlights of the match are fixed by certain road agents. Yeah. Yes.
So, yeah, this doesn't make sense that she has
to basically... selling it as, you know, Florence Pugh doesn't know what's going to happen. She has to overcome that fear. Yeah, that's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, that she's slapping her because she's just not speaking.
Exactly, to fill time.
And that starts the fight.
Right.
And then what? Like, she's actually willing herself to win.
Now, again, this isn't a movie made for wrestling fans. It's not. It's made for lay people and casual viewers. So do have the underdog story that does work dramatically, and I get it.
So here's the thing that really worked on me, and it was the very best moment, and is why I have to give it a great. At the end of that fight that we keep talking about, she uses the brother's finishing move, and she had not used that. And I'm like, ooh, I'm gonna cry. I couldn't believe that. And I couldn't believe that worked on me so thoroughly when she took that, like, I don't know if that's not the DDP Diamond Dallas Page move. What is that move like? Another wrestler's.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Is that like another wrestler's move?
Yeah, so what that move was, we just actually had to pause, and Mike had to walk me through it and tell me about the move, and you did a splendid job, might I say, because I was able to...
I just said, like, what way they're facing, and they tripped them, and the leg was there, and the arm was here.
It was a Russian leg sweep, which isn't like a finishing move most times, but it doesn't matter. Matters is that it was it was posited as the brother's finisher here,
right,
and it was an homage. That's what matters.
That meant a lot, emotionally, for the story, and especially in an underdog story. Now, my question to you, was that Paige's finishing move in any way, shape, or form?
No, it wasn't.
That this is all...
Dramatized.
Yeah. So here's the thing, like, dramatized, that works really well. But if you know, like, the real stuff, that's probably aggravating.
So, yeah, knowing the real stuff was aggravating, and there were other examples in the screenwriting and in the script that, like, it just went too far even for a drama. Like, she's freaking out. First of all, you can't freak out on live TV. She's freaking out not going answering her cue in the locker room to show up on Raw.
Oh, that freaked me the hell out.
That would never happen in real life. They would go in there and throw her out on the ramp to get to hit the spots.
You freak out if you're late to a movie.
Right, exactly.
And you freak out if I don't answer your text message back.
I absolutely
do. And I also do. And I can't believe that bothered me so much.
I hated that.
It's like, I get it. Like, the filmmaker is making us.
Yeah. It's whatever side you want to believe. Do you believe, like, are you suspending disbelief to walk through the drama? Or are you willing to say, this is too much and I need to come back to reality here? So her not answering Vince Vaughn knocking at the door and not responding and having enough time to answer a phone call from her brother, who just happens to be calling her at that moment to give the speech of, you can do it. That was a huge problem for me.
So I agree, But like I said before, we have soft landings for a lot of these scenes.
So it was a nice ending.
Walking out of that dressing room, she goes to Vince Vaughn, what are you doing? We're going to be late. And that made me laugh.
Yeah, they should have started. And
then at the end of the big finale, that kind of did not work. They have the huge emotional moment where she uses the brother's finishing move.
Right. So again, yeah, it's whatever you want to believe. You're walking this tightrope, and whatever is too far for you is probably too far. I just, that to me was overly convenient that that phone call happened.
Anything else worth seeing wise, Mike?
The way they treat CM Punk. I'm still a huge fan of his.
You described to me this
pre-show. This is so minute, and nobody should know this, but when Paige first gets to NXT and is at the Performance Center down in Florida, they flash over to two champions holding the belt. And it was just so weird to me because they obviously are parodying other wrestlers with the women in this who are wearing, like, there's one that's dressed up exactly like a wrestler Summer Rae was. There's another one dressed up exactly like, I think it was Alexa Bliss's early character in NXT, the cheerleader. So they have actors portraying other wrestlers without defining who those wrestlers are by name.
Mike, NXT, is that like on television too? Can you watch the minor league wrestling?
You can now. It's on the network. It's not on TV. It's on the WWE network every week. I don't think it was on like local access in Florida. FCW was when it was Florida Championship Wrestling. I don't know if it still is. But you can't watch it on a national stage.
Did you watch the NXT back in the day?
NXT, the way, we're going down a rabbit hole. When NXT first started, it was a contest.
Yeah.
It was like a contest. They only picked like 8 rookies. They attached them to veterans. So it wasn't like its own wrestling promotion yet.
Was that the MTV reality show?
It was similar to that. It wasn't the exact same thing. Because
I remember watching it.
So what the point I'm making is that they had actors portraying other wrestlers down in NXT. And then yet when you flash over to the two people that are supposed to be representing your champions at that time, the timeline they describe in the movie, the champion would have been CM Punk. And instead of portraying anyone that looks anything at all like CM Punk, like they did with the Summer Rays and Alexa Bliss, they had like this Samoan or awfully tan person with a nice crew cut that's not at all CM Punk. And that offended me as a CM Punk fan. But nobody else should know that because I'm psychotic. So that's how that worked. That was it. It's a long way of getting to that point, which means nothing in the long run of things.
Okay, so... But little things like that will bother.
If you know too much, you have an issue. Yeah, and if you know about Paige's personal life and the transgressions that she had to suffer through, and yes, this wasn't showing that, and it didn't cover that time period. But you also wonder, like, it wasn't all underdog story and roses.
So I wonder if you enjoyed some of the scenes that I enjoyed, like the Courtney's parents, basically Zach. Is
that was cute.
Is having a baby with Courtney, and they got to meet the parents. All the parents got to come together. That I thought that was a really funny scene.
Yeah, I really much enjoyed that scene, and I very much enjoyed the you're in our world. What do you mean this isn't normal? How is it not normal for a family to be full of felons and convicts and covered in tattoos running a wrestling promotion? Of course that's normal. What do you mean? You know?
Now, they so happen to get the big phone call of the movie, the call to adventure of the movie in that scene. Which is a little, you know,
yeah, that's convenient.
But I wonder, I mean, that whole sequence kind of worked on me really well.
It was charming. Steve it was absolutely Merchant. Charming. Good characterization. I liked it.
Meeting The Rock. This I'm very curious about because there's a lot of shtick in this scene. Meet The Rock behind the scenes. I know it doesn't happen.
It's like Titanic. The only thing that isn't true about Titanic is the entire love story, right? Like, the only thing that isn't true about this meeting is that they met The Rock. They didn't meet The Rock at that point, but you get The Rock cutting a rock-like promo, and it gives Dwayne Johnson, the actor, a chance to show his charming side and some of his comedic quips, so I had no problem with that.
Right, good scene. Yeah. I thought so too. And then Vince Vaughn tacks on another joke. You can't just hang out with The Rock.
Right, exactly. It was great. That was good.
I really liked a lot of the wrestling scenes and the training. I thought that worked.
I did too. I liked how authentic and real. And it's awfully tough to make wrestling cinematic. It really is. I mean, even on Monday Night Raw, it's tough how sometimes they pull off the shot, and the director must be losing his mind back there cutting the cameras.
And I know it would have been a different movie. I almost wish they went more into the training and more into that to where the climax of the film is her winning over the wrestling people. Even if you're yada-yadaing some of her, that backstory and compositing it, like, that was the story. Like, her triumph came more through what she does at NXT than what she did at Monday Night Raw. And they dramatized it into Raw, which, all right, I guess it's almost like a heist movie where you don't show the characters going through the plan. You just show the heist.
Yeah, it's, I mean, we already kind of covered it in that the big accomplishment of this was something that even in this world had already been decided.
Determined.
It wasn't something that she was had to overcome on her own. So you're right.
There. So it's strange because what I liked most about the movie up until that point was the training.
Right.
If they kind of went all out for that, maybe it would have worked on me. But like I said, that MTV reality show worked on me back in the
day. Sure.
Yeah. It was a good show.
Like a lot of stuff Jack Lowden did in this, I thought he wore his emotions on his face when Paige gets called into NXT and he doesn't, he gets turned down. Thought that was a good job. I thought him pleading with Vince Vaughn later in the movie to have him accepted and Vince Vaughn saying, "We're looking for something you don't have." Really liked his performance there. And the biggest performance by the two of them, him and Florence Pugh, when she's ready to give up and quit NXT and he's the one saying, you know, "How dare you?" Essentially, "You're the one that has a chance at our dream." He's accepted his role, that he's got a different life, has a different path for him. And he's the one that has to convince her to turn it around and stop being an asshole. I loved it.
That's all really smart. Because that, you know, going back all the way to the scene that they showed at the beginning with her only wrestling for the first time because her brother was in the ring. You know, that means a lot. I think that's really good. The movie's called Fighting With My Family. It's on brand. It's on message.
Which was one of the more pleasant things about me, because I thought this was the Paige biopic movie. And right. It is, but you get a lot from the family in this.
It's more like, the Knight origin story.
Right.
It felt like an origin story.
Where
it doesn't
agree.
Necessarily get into, you know, the gauntlet thing, the Infinity War.
That was a huge pleasant surprise. And it's also why you can forgive them for not getting into some of the transgressions of Paige themselves, because you did have, I mean, you had the scene where Zach runs away. You have the scene where the parents are out looking for him. You have the scene of him in the bar with a bar fight.
Now, the fight itself bothered me. Other than that, I kind of liked that whole sequence. Like, the fight itself, if you hit a guy in the face with a pool ball, you're going to jail for 40 years.
Especially probably, when he's around his friends.
Yeah. Probably because you've caved his head in.
Well, you probably also are getting your ass kicked thoroughly.
Probably. But bottom line is, if you're swinging a pool, like, he did what his brother in the movie did, and he gets away with it. Because it's after, like, why do we need to show him beating up four guys?
Right. Yeah, I'm with you.
You could show that whole interaction where he's picking a fight and then the father's there and grabs him.
Right.
Like, they just needed an action scene.
Like Green Book. Yeah, I mean, that would have been the Green Book scene, right? At the bar when all the racists are bugging Don Shirley and he gets out of there before fists are thrown. Yeah.
But that was, like, totally unbelievable that he turns into an action.
No, I'm with you. I didn't like that at all. I did like him going missing. I did like him having the restraint to, like, be happy for Paige, wear the heartache on his face, and eventually give in to that feeling of you know, self-deprecation and what good am I. I really like that arc.
And I love the whole angle with the kids in the wrestling school.
Yeah,
and,
me too.
You know, that's true stuff.
Yep.
Like, they did train a blind kid to become a wrestler, and that's a totally heartwarming thing, and it's a great moment in the movie when that kid actually is doing moves in the ring for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, it's wonderful.
So there is plenty of positives in this movie, and like I said, I'm maybe a harsh grade on it, but I think the grade is a positive for me. It's not a negative, because I never thought we would be covering this movie, certainly not as an Oscar Sprint profile. So this is like a huge deal.
This is a big deal for the genre.
Yeah.
For WWE Studios, this is a big deal because this is a windfall of critical acclaim.
Without question.
For them, for the very first time. Like I said, they had some 60s, some 70s. I don't remember what Oculus was. Maybe Oculus was an 80-something percent. But
I don't remember off the top of my head.
They've been gaining now a lot of credibility. And if this movie does not make money at the end of the day, I still agree with you. I think it will. It's at one over the critics.
Yeah, and that's the biggest takeaway from this, and it just proves what a role Dwayne Johnson's on. My God, talk about a guy that runs Hollywood right now.
Yeah, he's whatever he touches is quality stuff.
Does it turn to rock?
Is quality, at least in terms of money or actual quality, I guess I could say. Because look,
How dare you?
No, Rampage and Skyscraper.
Dare you?
I watch those movies. I'll go 10 rounds with you on either of them.
I own Skyscraper on Blu-ray.
It is so bad.
I haven't watched it, but I know it's going to win Oscars.
It missed its window. I'm just FYI.
Let's wrap this up with some final grades, Mike.
I give it a generous, I will say, but I give it a B+ 87. I think it fits up against a lot of my B+ 87s. Things that bothered me, I was, you know, ignorance is bliss. And I just didn't know.
This is certainly a movie made for the casual fan. Yeah, right. The casual movie fan. I agree. I'm an 82 B minus. Again, the burden of knowing things. I was just kind of disgusted by some of the stuff, but that's a good 82. Like, this is a positive review for me. It's a good grade. I just don't think, I mean, if we're talking about comparing it to Oscar movies, I don't think it was up to a lot of them, but whatever. I think an 82 is, I'm speaking very glowingly about this movie, and I did not expect to have that be the case. I didn't expect to cover it, period, on this podcast.
And you're kind of the cross section between the Metascore, which is like the grades, and the Tomato Meter score, which is the percentage of positive reviews.
So, right there, I think that's a good way to wrap this up. Yeah. We want to know your thoughts. Did you see this movie? And if not, if you are a wrestling fan, do you plan on seeing it? If so, why? If not, what do they need to do to promote this to interest you? I really think that's an interesting thing. I would like to hear from wrestling fans about that. Definitely reach out to us. You can hit our social medias. We are Mike and Oscar on Facebook, Mike and Oscar on Instagram, MM and Oscar on the Twitter machine, Mike and Oscar @.com, @gmail.com, and on Reddit. You can reach our podcast anywhere you hear podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, et cetera, et cetera. Michael, fighting with your family, you have a lot of brothers, so that'd be a good handicap match. What's some words of wisdom to get
you
through?
We did do a lot of wrestling growing
up. Yeah, I could definitely see that.
My brothers don't speak to me very often today. What do I have to say? In terms of wisdom, I would just say, well done, WWE Studios.
Yeah.
Regardless, this is a quality film, and they've been working at it for a long time. We've been at this podcast for a short time, but working long hours doing it.
We sure have.
If we can cut our teeth half as well as WWE Studios, it would be wise to get in on the Mike and Oscar train this early, because we're going crazy with it.
Did you have a character when you were wrestling your brothers, or were you just playing like Stone Cold? Like, was there a Mike, an also Mike character?
I don't want to say.
No, you have to now.
I have to?
Yeah.
I would do a shtick where I was Psycho Mike.
Oh, you were I was Magic Mike before the chant. And it's a God's honest truth. I was Magic Mike, and my brother, I think, was Daring Dave. Was the first.
Because I liked the Sid, Psycho Sid.
Yeah, oh yeah, Psycho
I
Sid.
Was Psycho Mike.
Psycho Mike. Psycho Mike and Magic.
And I would be crazy because I had little brothers. I would slam them. Sometimes I get too into it, and they're scarred.
Start throwing them around.
They're scarred emotionally to this day, but I would.
I like it. Idiot. All right. I guess Magic Mike would have to be a stripper character now. Right?
I guess so. I wish that was my nickname, though. Not Psycho, Magic.
All right, guys. When reality sucks, keep watching Movies With Us. We'll check you out next time.
See ya. In the sky.